From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Christian Liberty and Matters of Belief and Behavior. Our text is in chapter 14 and a portion of chapter 15. The focus is on the issue of Christian liberty and the questions of how those who are strong in their faith are to behave toward the weaker brethren. What restraints does Christian love impose upon the strong believer? Paul's teaching clearly shows that the strong Christian's priority should be on the peace of the church and the edification of the saints. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 11. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Our Heavenly Father sends us frequent troubles to try our faith. If our faith be worth anything, it will stand the test. Guilt is afraid of fire, but gold is not. The paste gem dreads to be touched by the diamond, but the true jewel fears no test. It is a poor faith which can only trust God when friends are true, the body full of health, and the business profitable. But that is true faith, which holds by the Lord's faithfulness when friends are gone, when the body is sick, when spirits are depressed, and the light of our Father's countenance is hidden. A faith which can say, in the direst trouble, Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, is heaven-born faith. The Lord afflicts his servants to glorify himself, for he is greatly glorified in the graces of his people, which are his own handiwork. When tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, the Lord is honored by these growing virtues. We should never know the music of the harp if the strings were left untouched, nor enjoy the juice of the grape if it were not trodden in the winepress, nor discover the sweet perfume of cinnamon if it were not pressed and beaten, nor feel the warmth of fire if the coals were not utterly consumed. The wisdom and power of the great workman are discovered by the trials through which his vessels of mercy are permitted to pass. Present afflictions tend also to heighten future joy. There must be shades in the picture to bring out the beauty of the lights. Could we be so supremely blessed in heaven if we had not known the curse of sin and the sorrow of earth? Will not peace be sweeter after conflict and rest more welcome after toil? Will not the recollection of past sufferings enhance the bliss of the glorified? There are many other comfortable answers to the question with which we opened our brief meditation. Let us muse upon it all day long.
What?
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Don't cause your brother to stumble. Or as verse 14 and 15 puts it, don't place your liberty above or before his stability. Paul says, I know that there's nothing unclean of itself. I know that. Paul understood the gospel. Paul was not living like this weaker brother. He places himself, chapter 15, verse 1, among those who are strong. He understood that. He says, I know that in myself. But there are other people who don't have that liberty. And if their conscience is stricken that they feel this to be unclean, and they eat in violation of their conscience, to them it is unclean. He says, I must not do anything in developing or exercising my liberty that is going to upset the stability of my brethren. The most important thing is to have them going on with God. It's not to win them over to my side in an argument. It's not to get them to my way of thinking in this storm in a teacup. No, no. He said, my big desire is that they're stable in the things of God. And this is how to act charitably. So those are his instructions. For the rest of the chapter, he gets into some of the implications of those instructions. And since these verses speak for themselves, really, while you could preach for months on this passage, I'm not going to do so. Verse 16 means you don't do anything that may hurt your testimony. I think this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. I think it's a verse that every Christian should know where it is and have it off by heart. Let not your good be evil spoken of. You see, there's a lot of Christians. They were in Rome and they're here in Greenville. And they do a lot of good. And then they undo it. Foolishly, either by sin or even by pushing their liberty. Let me give you an example. Let me set aside the whole argument for a moment of whether a Christian should drink alcohol or shouldn't, or should be free to or should not be free to. Let me set that aside for a minute. I've told you of a young woman, who's actually a niece of my wife's. It was a very worldly girl. She told me this herself. She went into a bar. And there was a young man who sought to witness to her about Christ. He had a glass of booze in his hand. And she blistered him. She really let him have it. Or as another young woman in the firm I worked in as a young fellow told a hypocritical young religious guy, "It's hypocrites like you who have people like me the way we are." If it were even acceptable to that fellow's conscience to take booze, was it worth losing his testimony for a glass of Guinness? Let not your good be evil spoken of. Do nothing that's going to hurt your testimony. Verse 17. Christianity is not a religion of externals. And to major on your liberty to eat or to drink, or the need to abstain because of the Mosaic law, Paul says, look, that's missing the real point. This is not a matter of externals. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, or not eating and not drinking. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, there is an internal spiritual reality. And the more God's people pursue the spiritual graces, the better they will be off. You see, when you get into the position, and it may transcend the situation in Rome, it may be a very different kind of situation, but the more you get into mere external religion, the more you get into defining your religion by sets of externals, the more you judge the reality of Christianity merely by externals, then the more you're going to lose out with God. You're told there's righteousness, there's peace, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. Now there's a social character of uprightness, a testimony among others. There's peace. There is a social character that goes within the church where there are people who are now living in peace with each other. And there's also that personal character of the enjoyment of peace. And then there's joy in the Holy Ghost. That's personal. And that's regarding the body of Christ. You know, that's one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Christian life you'll get in the Bible. It's one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Christian church you'll get in the Bible. Let this church not simply be defined by our view of externals, but let us as a people live in righteousness. That's a big word in Romans, is it not? Mostly it's the righteousness of Christ imputed. This is the result of imputed righteousness in the life of a Christian. Let us as a church then live in the outpouring of a life that's lived in reaction to the gospel. Righteousness and peace. Why are so many churches turned into war zones? Why is that? Now, I know there's a time to stand up and be counted. I know there's a time when there needs to be a real fight in a church. If an apostate comes in and people start deviating from the gospel. But my experience in most churches is that most of the battle zones are because of things of personal preference. Little or nothing to do with anything of significance in Scripture. It's the very antithesis of what Paul says the Christian church ought to be. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will only be, as I was preaching this morning, he will only be in his temple, filling it with his glory and his power and the demonstrations of his fullness, where there is righteousness and when there is peace. He is the holy dove of God. And that holy dove of God may be easily grieved. Make sure we do not grieve him here. In verse 18, it's true spirituality that God approves of. We may boast of what we do or what we don't do. It's true spirituality that God approves. And then Paul gives us up to verse 19 and 20. He gives us the gospel principles by which our actions should take place. There's the peace of the church and the edification of believers. What should I do in this church? How should I act in this church? Well, act for the peace of the church. Now let me take it way beyond Romans 14. That's going to put an awful quick stop to a lot of the stupid gossiping that goes on in churches. I would be the last to hear it. People don't come to tell me I'm a gossip, so I would be the last to hear it. But I think also I would be a fool to realize that our people are not perfect. And I have no doubt that somewhere, and I'm not speaking of anybody in particular, I don't use the pulpit as a coward's castle. I'm not speaking of anybody in particular. If I had to say it to you, I would have you face to face and eyeball to eyeball with me, and I would say it to you. But I'm sure that somewhere we have loose tongues. I was saying to Mr. Hamilton today, one of the biggest curses to hit the church is email. Every nutcase sends out an email. Now, I know there's a good use for it. Don't come and tell me, I did this good and that good. Yeah, it did. I understand that. But every nutcase who has something to say about somebody else or some stupid notion to perpetrate upon the church, he just sends out emails. Every grievance. The trouble with an email is he can sit down and hammer it out while he's still in the heat and confusion and passion of anger or bitterness or misunderstanding. And when it goes out, it's out there in the big wide world and it will never be withdrawn. In the old days, a letter would go to a person. A person may be able to forgive it and forget it. Gets out into cyberspace. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on forever to curse both the person that sent it and the person against whom it's written. The peace of the church. The edification of the saints. That's what ought to inform our acting. In verse 20, the first part of the verse, we ought to have the principle of strengthening, not destroying, the work that God has done in another person's life. Remembering, as verse 20, the second part makes clear, in the words of Martin Luther, it's always dangerous to go against your conscience. You may look at a man's conscience and say, that conscience is weak. Weak or not, it's his conscience. And it is always dangerous to violate your conscience. In a word, verses 21 to 23 make it clear that a Christian, on whatever side of the divide, must live by faith. That's what it's all about. I think I should say something about that verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. It sounds a very harsh statement. And as we would understand it today, it's not only harsh, it's totally unscriptural. That's not what Paul was saying. And it's not even what our translators intended. The word damned in those days in 1611 simply meant judged or condemned. You had to work out the level of judgment and the level of condemnation. Here it's the condemnation of his own conscience. He that doubteth, I really don't think that's the translation at all. This is speaking of a man who is making distinctions among meats. It's the weak believer. He says if his conscience is hurt and you prevail on him to eat, his conscience condemns him because he's not eating by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a mighty big statement. And it goes to the weak believer and the strong believer. You're to live by faith. What has Paul been saying from Romans 12, 1 right through? What have I been trying to emphasize these Sabbath evenings? Once we grasp the gospel, that gospel has to govern how we live. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, these are the matters of indifference.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.